We want to thank you first for having us this morning. This is the first time we've ever given this particular talk, but it's not the first time we've talked about this journey. So first off, does anybody know, I'm going to apologize. I present in my professional career and audience engagement is part of my job. Does anybody know how many state parks and forests there are in Pennsylvania? There is a lot. There is 144 total. And somehow, Christopher and I have managed to visit every single one of them without killing each other.
Yeah. So
that's
yeah.
what we're going to talk about today.
Right, right. You may be wondering what the secret is, and we're going to try to teach you what that is today.
So I guess a little bit about us. We've been together since November of 2013.
Oh, is that when it was?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. All right.
We met during a production of Les Mis at the Academy. So those of you who got to see him as Bialystock, he's always my Javert. That's about as sappy as we'll get today.
Yeah, uncompromising morality. Yeah.
But this is just kind of a snapshot of some of our state park adventures, both separate and alone. If you any indication of how I feel about our state parks, I even dragged my coworkers to them. My coworker Rachel, poor girl, got dragged up to the top of Heiner View, overlooking Renovo in Clinton County, despite the fact that there was so much fog and cloud cover you couldn't see anything. You can also see how thrilled Christopher usually is on these trips, mostly because I make him get up before 8 a.m.
Yes. Anybody who knows me, yeah, I'm not a morning guy. I don't come online until about 9:30, which is unfortunate because our commissioners' meetings are at 9:30. And usually the first 10 minutes or so, I don't remember much.
So in private life, I work for the Pennsylvania Department of Community and Economic Development as a local government planning specialist.
I have no idea what that is. I'm one of the Crawford County commissioners in my day job, though I just like to say normally I'm a tuba player that is occasionally elected to office. That's kind of how I try to live my life. But yeah, so we're both. It's sort of interesting that with Catherine being with the state and myself being with county government employees, enjoying what is essentially a government resource. This is the state parks and the state forests are something that Pennsylvania does exceptionally well. We have a very unique system in Pennsylvania that is the envy of many other states. And I think we'll get into more kind of the history of where we started and how it all came to us. But if the last decade has taught us anything, it's that this is a treasure that is worthy and has received national recognition time and time again. And if there's anything, any legacy that we can leave with our trip, it is to be ambassadors of these incredible resources across the Commonwealth.
So, as Chris referenced, there's a long storied history to the Pennsylvania State Parks, and we don't have enough time to get on all of it, but I just wanted to touch on some of the major kind of milestones. The first conservation law in Pennsylvania was actually passed by William Penn when he created Pennsylvania, and it said that for every 5 acres of land cleared, there had to be 1 acre of trees preserved. So Pennsylvania has been built on conservation. In 1893, they developed the first Pennsylvania Forestry Commission, which was really charged with protecting and maintaining Pennsylvania forests. And the first commissioner was Dr. Joseph Trimble Rothrock. So if you ever visit Rothrock State Forest, that's where the name comes from. And he was the first to acquire 7,500 acres in Clinton County, which was the first state forest. Another favorite pioneer and leader of the forestry and conservation movement in Pennsylvania is one of my personal heroes, Mira Lloyd Dock. Has anybody heard of Mira Lloyd Dock before? So she got her start in the City Beautiful movement, which speaks to my planning background, and really tried to improve conditions in Harrisburg and Pennsylvania cities. And then that led her to wanting to conserve and protect nature. And she actually became the first female Forest Commission member in 1901. So if you get a chance, check her out. She's pretty cool. The second state park ever established in Pennsylvania was Presque Isle in 1921. And it was because they recognized how ecologically diverse it was. And then another pretty cool guy, pretty good big hero, has some connections to Meadville, is Gifford Pinchot. So he was governor of Pennsylvania twice, but he was also the first U.S. forester under President Teddy Roosevelt. And so he also knew A.C. Heidegger. And Pinchot is the one that really built up the park system. He helped bring the CCC in. So in Pennsylvania, we had 152 CCC camps. We were second in the nation for number of CCC camps behind California. And we'll talk about one that was actually close to home in Pima Tuning that they've been doing a lot of study on. And then in 1955, Maurice K. Goddard became the Secretary of Forests and Waters, and he had a vision that there would be a state park within 25 miles of every Pennsylvania resident. So many of our state parks came into being under Goddard. And then a little bit more recently, the Pennsylvania Parks and Forest Foundation, that is the nonprofit partner of the state park system, and they began operation in 1999. And then Pennsylvania Wilds, which we'll talk a little bit about, they became into fruition in 2003. And then our most recent parks, we had three added to the system in 2022, which really screwed up our passport.
Oh boy, did it, yes.
And we'll talk about that.
Yes.
And just so everyone's aware, the parks and forests are managed by DCNR, the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources. They manage all 124 parks, 20 state forests. There's 2 million acres of state forest land in Pennsylvania. They also manage all of the cultural and historic resources within those parks and forests. And if you're interested in checking out any state parks, they have great maps that show you where they all are. They break them down in regions. And just some of the fun facts that I love. So one of the parks we visited is Ole Bull.
The violinist, yeah. The whole state park is violin themed. Ole Bull was Norwegian, mm-hmm. I believe. He was a famed Norwegian violinist that had visited at one point or had, yeah, had some Pennsylvania connection. And they named a state park after him. So I'm waiting on the Christopher R. Seeley tuba themed. Maybe at Woodcock. We'll have to see where they decide to put it. But I'm hoping that anything a violin can do, a tuba can do half as well. So.
And one of the hardest state parks for us to visit was Allegheny Islands. So Allegheny Islands is about 50 acres. It's two islands and seven shoals in the Allegheny River outside of Pittsburgh.
Right underneath the Turnpike Bridge. Mm-hmm. Nice and quiet. It was funny, as we went through, and if point of privilege, yeah, if I may. So the passport that Katie makes mention of, this was in the back of the room when everybody came in, but it was this nifty little tent. Oh, it's falling apart. It's very well worn. This nifty little book that every park and forest has its own unique stamp. And so you go through, usually go to the park office, and they have these neat little stamps you can snag. Occasionally we would have to call or mail the park and have them send it to us because we might be getting there at 10 o'clock at night and nobody was around. But we were winnowing down our journey, and the last two parks we had left were
By design, were
Point State Park, Point Park, and Allegheny Islands. Because we knew Allegheny Islands you can only access by boat. So you have to hop on a kayak or something like that. We knew that's a summertime at best sort of thing. And Point Park was going to be the last place. We wanted to cap it in Pittsburgh. And then Governor Wolf built three more. So
All of which were out east.
They were all out east. One was in Wyoming, one was in Chester County, and the other one was in York County, I think. Mm-hmm. And so we had to make an excuse to head back out east, and we'll tag that a little bit on the end. But yeah, what she says was right. That was definitely the hardest one to get to, but by far one of the most enjoyable. We spent the whole day there. That was quite a good one.
And actually, so the last park we ever visited, and it was on this slide here.
Yeah, you got your laser.
This
you go.
One. Vosburgh Neck. So that's one of the newest ones. We got that almost exactly 1 week before we got married.
Yeah, so that was 1 week before this right here.
Which occurred at Pima Tuning, which is a perfect segue into Home Sweet Home.
Absolutely.
So our state park adventure actually starts in our backyard. We're fortunate that we live 5 minutes from Pima Tuning State Park. Christopher grew up there, mm-hmm. so he always says his first love is Pima Tuning, and I'm his second.
No, sorry. The honesty is what keeps the marriage alive, as far as I'm concerned.
I have a strong affinity for Pima Tuning State Park. I'm part of the Pima Tuning Lake Association, which is the nonprofit that supports Pima Tuning State Park. It is our biggest state park in the system at 21,000 acres, 17,000 of which is a lake, but still.
It counts.
It is also the second most visited in the state park behind, does anybody know the first most visited? Prescott Isle
gets us every time. Yeah.
But fun fact, the Spillway is the second most visited attraction in Pennsylvania behind the Liberty Bell.
Liberty Bell gets us every time. Yep.
And one of the things that people don't often know about Pima Tuning is it played a crucial role in bringing the bald eagles back to Pennsylvania. And not just Pennsylvania, but the nation.
Yeah.
So this is our home. This is one of my favorite places. When I read that poem about going out to the woods, this is where I do that. I do a lot of forest bathing. I do a lot of just nature therapy. And I'm very fortunate to live so close to a place that I can do that. And it's something that we do together. Christopher's an avid fisherman, and I'm an avid photographer. In fact, all of these photos you see will be ones that I've taken myself.
She's better at taking photos than I am at catching fish, make no mistake.
But it's something, you know, we'll go out on the kayaks, and Chris will be fishing, mm-hmm. and I will be with my camera, and we're together enjoying that mm-hmm. that peace and that time and that.
I think it took, growing up in Linesville, I'm a Linesville boy, born and bred, I think for a period of my life, you know, college, when I started to get older and started to get interested more in other things, feminine and otherwise, I sort of take Pima Tuning for granted. And then when Katie and I met and started to build this life together, and we found ourselves in Linesville, and the beginning of our state park journey, it sort of reignited this love for this asset. And I mean, to this day, because of what we both do, it would be adventitious of us to live in Meadville. The commute for me would certainly be shorter. But we've just decided against that, that there's something to be said about walking downtown and suddenly being in this incredible place. I'm 10 minutes from my favorite fishing spot. I can get there by foot. And that's the sort of thing you really can't buy, and that's the sort of thing you'd never want to sacrifice. So really, in an odd sort of way, our relationship built in not uncertain terms, my continued and renewed relationship with the park. I'd never be anywhere else.
I grew up on Lake Erie.
Yeah,
Pima Tuning is lovely, but it's not Lake Erie.
It's a puddle, I know. 6 feet deep average, I know. Yeah.
So talking about the start of our journey, so Go Wild references the Pennsylvania Wilds. The Pennsylvania Wilds is a conservation landscape. It's 13 different counties, one of the largest tracts of preserved land in Pennsylvania. It has the darkest skies east of the Mississippi in Cherry Springs State Park, so if you like stargazing, you should check it out. And this is kind of where our passport journey started. Mm-hmm. Now, we had been recreating and enjoying nature together prior to that passport, and we had gone on a trip. Unfortunately, earlier in 2018, my mother had been diagnosed with lung cancer, and so I was feeling pretty frayed. And so we took a trip out Route 6. I will also plug that. If you've never driven Route 6, it's my favorite road anywhere.
Set aside the whole day. There's nowhere
they,
to pass.
They won the unofficial best scenic byway in the nation this year.
Really?
Yes. No. Mm-hmm.
What was the official, out of curiosity?
There is no official contest.
No, that's
but
good.
They beat out the Blue Ridge Parkway. So. And on our way home from that trip, we stopped at Kinzu. Kinzu State Park, where the Skywalk is, which is here.
Some of you may remember when it wasn't an abbreviated Skywalk. I don't know if anybody had been out there. I'm seeing some heads shake up and down. Mm-hmm. We all remember that horrific tornado that went through and kind of truncated what was once a really impressive rail bridge. I have a thing about heights, so I still can't quite get to the end of this. And if anybody's been there recently, there's sort of this glass, plexiglass thing you can walk out over top of. No, thank you. There's nobody got time for that. So I kind of stick back along the where the railings are, and she's the adventurous one. She'll go out and do that. But
so we picked up our passport in the gift shop there, and we started our journey in earnest. It really got going, though, in 2020 during the pandemic. So we were all set up to go to Acadia National Park in Maine. 2 weeks before we were supposed to leave, Maine said, we don't want you.
Not personally, just to us. They told that to everybody.
Well, I think it was pretty personal with him, but
it was pretty personal, yeah.
And so we had to pivot. And so what we did, we ended up going and staying in Williamsport.
Everyone's silver medal, yes.
And every day we went in a different direction. And one of those days was up into the wilds to Benazet to see the elk. And what happened on the way home,
Christopher? Oh, gosh. Well, what didn't happen? So upon leaving Benazet, at that point, we were in Katie's car. It was this low
sitting.
He was
driving. I want to be clear.
I was driving. We were in this Ford Focus that's about 3.5 inches off the ground. And we pull out of a parking lot for what it was one of the Game Commission parking lots. And the grade of that lot was about, the width of a pretty healthy encyclopedia, lower than the road. So when we were kind of stuck, and I thought, you know what, I'm a guy, I'll brave it. Up onto the road, and I tore the valance, the fiberglass piece underneath the front of the bumper. All right, marvelous. But it wasn't hanging down far enough to be a problem. We said, let's just get back to the hotel and we'll deal with it. The sun was setting. This was about 8:30 at night. And so we're on the, we leave Benazet, we get out of the elk area, or so we thought. And I can't remember, it was Route 102 or whatever the case
120.
Was. 120. We're on our way back to Lock Haven. We're just trying to get back to civilization. And we come really close to filling our freezer with a beautiful cow elk. by mere inches, we missed that nice lady. And at least we would have had something to show for the trip. But ultimately, it couldn't have been a half mile later, we had a surface cut in the road where they had maybe put a culvert in, and it did the rest of the damage. It pulled the thing off, and now there's sparks, and there's just terrible things happening. So we pull off to what I would like to call the side of the road, but there was no side of the road. The road was about the width of one of your pew rows, and there was no shoulder. On one side, it was a sheer mountain wall, and on the other side, it was a sheer down to the river. There's nowhere to go. It's about 11:30 at night. It's dark. There's no cell coverage. What do you do?
It was a Monday, too.
And it was a Monday, so it was like...
So nobody is driving.
I had no solutions, and so we're just sort of despondent sitting there. I get out. I'm looking under the car. I have no way to fix this, and headlights begin to approach us. I think, okay... And this great big panel truck comes up. The side wasn't marked. It was just sort of plain. And I thought, okay, well, why wouldn't this be the way we're killed? And and this guy...
I think he told me to be prepared to run.
Just
I
be
wasn't
prepared
sure
to run.
Running,
like, what is it? I don't have to run faster than the bear. I just have to run faster than you. I'm thinking, I don't only have to run faster than her. This fella gets out, big strapping guy, big knife down his leg, and I was like, oh, this is it? Why wouldn't it be? And there's just going to be a lot of paperwork in Crawford County when one of their auditors turns up missing. And he comes up, and he just sort of takes a look at it, doesn't say much. He just greets us. He doesn't give his name or anything like that, and he looks at it, and he goes back to his truck, brings back a couple of zip ties, fixes it for us, gets in his truck, and leaves. Meanwhile, sweating bullets, thinking, whole life's flashing before my eyes. And I can't remember what company he worked
Snap-on.
For.
Snap-on.
Snap-on, that's right.
He was on his way to Jersey Shore.
He was. He was making a delivery. So we called his company the next day and said, well, maybe we thought the guy was a murderer in the beginning. But it turns out he was a really great guy. He helped fix our vehicle, and off we went. So I think he ended up getting some kind of raise or something. He was rewarded. It was kind of that unintentional kindness by a complete stranger that just as easily could have driven around us and kept on his way. He might have been late for his delivery, who knows. But that's one isolated story of the many interesting individuals and that we've met throughout our journeys, but just kind of the love that was shown to us by complete strangers through this. And we lived to see another park. So, you know, at the end of the day, that's really the threshold you have to get to.
If you're interested, there are a lot of stories we have that involve roads and Christopher being uncomfortable.
Ooh, way uncomfortable, yeah.
Mostly because of me.
Ford foci aren't supposed to climb mountains.
And just so in closing, I kind of wanted to talk about one of the last major trips we took, which was out to the Delaware Water Gap in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And that's how we would do our trips. We would pick an area, like a central place, stay there for a long weekend, and just make an itinerary. When you're married to a planner, you don't really have a choice. I have a whole system of Google Maps set up, figuring out where we were going, what our itinerary was.
Well, when you're married to a commissioner, I just change my mind halfway through and throw it all out, start again. So,
there were some tense moments. But one of my favorite things about Pennsylvania is our waterfalls. We're not often recognized for those. And I did want to say, too, in addition to having our passport here, we brought a couple other things. We have the map of all of the state parks and forests in the back there. We also have a book on the Pennsylvania wilds and a book on Pennsylvania waterfalls. So if you're interested in doing any adventuring on your own, definitely check those out. And I think we're going to go to coffee hour, too, if anybody wants to ask any questions or learn more. But, it's marriage is tough, but it's a lot easier when you realize you can spend an entire day in a car together and still survive.
Yeah, I don't know as we've ever calculated the mileage, but I know we've both gone through several vehicles during the course of this, but it took us to all 67 counties in the Commonwealth, all the way from Philadelphia to Erie and everything in between. And even having to kind of derail the plans there at the end to hit those last three in the East, it was convenient. There was a conference we were both speaking at anyway, and it was in a neighboring county. We said, well, let's reserve that. We'll hit that last park. That was a profound one, because it was...
We went fossil digging.
We did. We went fossil digging, and it was kind of, now what do we do? We've seen the end of the movie, and...
And we haven't taken a trip since.
No, we haven't taken a trip since. She bought a National Parks passport, which I've hidden in the house because I don't want into that. You know, it's easy to take a weekend and go to Philadelphia. You can't take a weekend and go to Denali, you know. So so we've kind of contemplated, well, where does it go from here? But I just kind of remember we occasionally will go into the parks and split away from one another. We always try to kind of stay within eye shot, but we go do our own thing. And yeah, she said, I'm kind of a fossil hound, so I'm walking along this river.
I was looking for birds.
She was looking for birds. I was looking for dead birds in stone, and I picked up this rock, and I've carried it with me ever since. And it's she calls it my worry stone. I don't know what that means.
He doesn't like that.
I don't like worry stone.
He loves it when he's stressed out.
Yeah, yeah. But I carry it with me all the time because it kind of, to me, it's not that it's lucky. It's just, it symbolizes a lot of things. It symbolizes patience, most of all. I mean, I think just the geologic realities of a rock are self-descriptive. It takes so long for something like that to happen. But it was the patience. It took us a long time to get married. We've been together for, 13 years? And we've been married for less than one of those. And that was mostly me. I'll fess up to that. But the symbolism of the patience and the consistency of where we would go to these parks, and we just kind of got into a routine. We would, we'd snipe back and forth a little bit, but it was never because of the trip. It was always some other issue. It was always...
It's because he changed my itinerary, and that stressed me out.
Funny enough, it would almost always be work-related. Like, work would come up, and then we'd have disagreements about that. But we found that the secret was we have similar tastes in food, and that makes it easy
to
find stops.
Which is all of it.
All of it, and podcast. That's what did it for us. We get into a car and we found a couple good podcasts that we both really liked, and that's nice. We never had to ride in silence, but I noticed along the way that we would miss entire episodes of podcasts because we would just be in conversation. And I think that was sort of the audition period for both of us. We lived together, we had this wonderful life already, but being in a confined cell together for that long with only periodic times to get out of the car teaches you a lot about the other person. And I don't think we would have as healthy of a marriage as we do now had we not taken those trips together, because it showed us at our best and it showed us at our absolute worst sometimes. There's no doubt about that.
But, okay, Mr. Politics.
Yeah, we made it through. Oh, you've talked more than I have.
But I do want to tie back the patience. You know, Pennsylvania went through a period of time where we deforested a lot of our lands, where we had so much mine drainage and so much damage to the places we purported to love. And the patience of the folks who have been passionate about conservation, about forestry, and about protecting those natural areas is why we have such a wonderful park system now. And as Christopher said, it's nationally recognized. Mm-hmm. And we're continuing to grow that. They now have one of a handful of nationally known outdoor recreation efforts for the outdoor recreation economy. So if you get a chance, take a trip out to a park. We've got Pima Tuning on one end, Oil Creek on the other, Presque Isle to the north, Goddard to the south, and just appreciate what we are fortunate to have in Pennsylvania.
All right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We appreciate your kind attentiveness.
So if please rise and join us in singing hymn number 123, Spirit of Life. It's in your gray hymnal.